Today's reading is from Exodus, the second book of the Bible, and it's from chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, and the passage is called Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.
Thank you, Karen. We could easily have continued that passage way beyond verse 15. We would have got all seven of those Jebusites, Perizzites, Hivites, and so on more than once, and even into chapter 4 as well. So I would encourage you to, when you go home, look at both chapters, and we're going to be dipping into chapter 4 during this message. I kind of hinted last week that we're going to have a new series this week, and that's what we're going to do as we look at this passage. What we're looking at and beginning this week is a series looking at leadership. We haven't finished with Matthew. We've just taken a pause with Matthew. We'll come back to Matthew a little bit later in the year, at least once, if not twice, and perhaps carry on with him in 2020 as well, because there's so much in Matthew's gospel. But we're, for the next few weeks, going to be looking at the issue of leadership, and particularly as God interacts with a number of people within Scripture. So their calls and how they respond to that call. I'll come on in a moment or two to what the particular kind of reason for that is. We've got a local reason for it. But as so often with these kind of things, I might speak with a particular agenda that I or the church has got here, but God never feels limited. And so God might be speaking to you about this in a completely different way, but in a context which fits your own individual life. Please be prepared for that. As we begin then, let's reflect on one or two things. There is a photo of me preaching. And I can remember November more than 5 years ago now, coming to visit the church and being subjected to a Q&A. And one of the first questions I was asked is that first one that's up on the screen there. Why do you want to come to this church? Of all the questions to ask, that one flummoxed me. If you'd asked me my theology, if you'd asked me my experience, if you'd asked me things that I thought we might be able to do together, I could have answered all of those questions, and I hope I did, reasonably. Can't have done that badly, because I'm here 5 years later. But what was my problem with this? My problem with this is it's not actually the right answer. Sorry, the right question. So you won't get the right answer, if you see what I mean. And the reason for that, as we will see with Moses, is that actually for many people who were called into leadership roles in the church, particularly we're looking at today, but not always in the church, we don't actually always want to. That's one of the big issues we actually have to face. And I can tell you now, with all honesty, I didn't want to come to Croydon because I already had an offer on the table, but I had submitted to the question and the possibility that God might have another idea. And so that weekend was all about discovering if God did have another idea. And it was as much about you persuading me that God was calling me here as it was me persuading you that I might be coming here. Let's move on, though, because we need to get to Moses and what he's talking about. Yesterday, I went to an induction, which is the service for a new minister who's been appointed and they're, with great ceremony, brought into the church and begin their ministry. New Addington Baptist Church, just up the road, has got a new minister, a lady called Claire, and she will be preaching this morning, her first sermon in that church. I went to her induction service. She was in exactly the same boat as I was 5 years ago. She's been exercising a ministry north of Manchester, and she had begun to ask God if it was time for her to move on. She sensed that God was saying the answer was yes, and she asked if she could stay somewhere near family, which are in the northeast of the country. So he brought her to a church that she had never heard of, in a London borough that she had never heard of, and to a part of the country further south than she had ever lived. Again, an example of someone who was invited to go somewhere they hadn't actually intended. And the next question, why did you choose to be a minister? I did not choose to be a minister. I thought I was going to be a doctor. But my brother and I had agreed at quite a young age we were going to be doctors. That was option number one. And a teacher put the end to that one. I can tell you the story at length some other time. I then went and visited a lawyer to see whether law was the right area that God had for me. But again, that door, and it literally was a door, was closed to me. You know, don't you? There's not a map on here today, by the way. You know how I love maps and things. Ordnance survey. That was my next choice. And God just removed all of those options. I tell you what I did know, and that is what I didn't want to do. And that is, I didn't want to be a minister in the church. And yet, that's what God did. I say all of that because some of those dynamics are going on with Moses as we come to Moses and as we come to leadership. Quickly, we are going to look at the call to lead, and then, more in depth, we're going to look at the response, because actually the response is kind of where we're at when God calls us. So, the author of the call, the need, and then the command. The author of the call is none other than God himself. And actually, as we look at this passage, it becomes increasingly clear that actually this is what it's all about. The call is not about us. The call is about God. It's about his plan. It's about who he is. It's what he wants to achieve. And he then issues the right people for what he wants done. The question then is, are we going to respond to that? So we find these two places right at the beginning when Moses sees the burning bush, goes aside to have a look at it. He's told to take off his sandals because he's on holy ground, and then God declares who he is. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, I'm not just a local deity. I am the Lord, the Creator, is who God is inviting Moses to realize. And then when you go over the page and towards the end of the passage that Karen actually read to us, we have this slightly comic and yet at the same time deeply profound conversation between Moses and the Lord when he says, well, when I go to the people of Israel and say, the God of your ancestors, who, what is your name? And there is a sense in which God says there is no name. That's part of what's going on here, and also something in which God's name is so deep and so profound and so described in this I am who I am, that it simply cannot be limited. It is a boundless name which tells us that God himself is boundless. And many, I've probably told you before, and this is not a sermon on the name of God, but I've probably told you before that actually you can't even pin down the tense in which the word is written. So it's not just I am who I am, but it's I will be who I will be. So in a sense, it's a long sentence of a name saying I am who I am and I will be who I will be and I always will be who I will be and I am still I am. And you could keep on going like that. And God, what God is trying to say is there is absolutely nothing that limits him. Hold that in our minds when we then receive the call, because that's what it's all about. The call is not about us. The call is about him and about the task. That's what it's all about. And talking of the task, the need. So here in Exodus 3, the specifics for Moses and his situation is, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. This is verse 7 of chapter 3. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. And notice, by the way, when I say it's all about God, Moses is the one who's receiving the call, but verse 8, I have come down to rescue them. It's God who is going to do the work, is what we need to hear. But there is a need, and that's the specifics of their need. Now, there is a context for this sermon and this series of sermons. The context for this series of sermons is that the church, and if you're a church member and have been to our church members' meetings in recent months, you will be aware of the fact that we have lost a couple of elders, come to the end of their terms and so on, and a couple of leaders, and we have two elders left, as it were. We have Jackie and we have Matilda. Our church constitution says we need to have at least three elders. And we've been doing some work on actually finding new elders. But so far, we have really struggled. And we need the church to think about it. We need the church to pray about it. And part of the looking at this series is also, There's two kind of strands to it. One is God speaking to some of us and calling some of us, as he calls Moses and some of the others that we'll look at in the series, but is also to help us think and look around the rest of the congregation, asking the question, who is God calling? So even if you feel it's not you, we still have that responsibility as a church congregation to think, who might it be that God might be calling into some kind of leadership role within the life of the church? We're in a position such that every few months we're having to go back to the church meeting to ask permission to carry on with leading the church with underhand numbers, as it were, not the correct numbers. And so far the church has granted us that permission. But I don't think this is right. I don't think it should continue. I think we need to be thinking and praying for additional leaders. Now, just pause for a moment, because within your context, you may feel, well, David, I'm with you, I recognize the church's need, but I'm not 100% sure that this is going to be relevant to me and my life. And this is where I say we just need to have that flexibility when we look at God's word to realize that sometimes there may be a different context in my particular world and my particular situation. So there may be a need within your context, within your workplace, within a voluntary organization that you are involved in and committed to that is calling for leadership. Do you recognize that need? And could it be that God might be inviting you to actually come forward and be part of the answer to that problem? In the last month or so, I became chair of Christian Family Concern, a charity that's just up the road from us. I resisted that for a year. You'll see a common theme in my life there, won't you? And God made it clear after the end of a year that that was necessary, and he wanted me in that role. Is there something similar, not within the context of the church, that God might be calling you to? So there's the need. We've got God, who is the author of the call. We have the need. And then we have the command. So we have, I don't know if you noticed it, verse 10. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Parallel with last week. Funny, isn't it? We finished a series last week, but actually, because God's God, sometimes we begin to see there are connections even between what might appear to be separate series. Last week, we were looking at the Great Commission where Jesus says, go! Go and make disciples. And here, we read, go. So, perhaps God is saying to some of us, and we need to hear more than once, go. I've got a role for you. Are you going to hear what that call is? Go and make disciples. Go, I am sending you. I could elaborate on that point, but you know, I'm not going to. And actually, God doesn't elaborate on it either. He is simple and he is clear. He says, this is the problem. This is the need. This is who I am. I am appointing you. Go and get on with it. And sometimes that is the bottom line. We'll come on to Moses' bottom line in a little while, actually. So let's get on with the response then. Because that's why we need to look at chapter 4 as well as chapter 3. Because the rest of chapter 3 and chapter 4 are Moses' response. And God, in brackets, patiently, in brackets, then running out of patience, responding to Moses' response. And in a sense, I'm being extremely generous by simply saying the response. If I were being less generous, we would put up on the screen there the excuses of Moses. And they are, who am I? They won't believe. I am no speaker. And in some ways, my personal favourite, send someone else. Which in some ways is probably what I relate to most. I always want to get out of it and get somebody else to do it, and maybe the rest of us do as well. So, who am I is what Moses begins with in his response in verse 11. So verse 10, go, I'm sending you. And Moses says, but who am I? Or put it another way, I'm nothing. Compared with all those other people. Hang on a minute, Moses. Have you forgotten that you were brought up in Pharaoh's court? And that actually the stuff that went on in your earlier part of your life is extremely relevant here. And I have been preparing you for this. He makes no reference to it there. So Moses must have completely forgotten. But what I find fascinating about this is that the answer to the question is in fact the exact same words as the question. Moses says, who am I? As a question, meaning I'm nothing and I can't do anything. And he's probably thinking, I'm actually an Egyptian reject prince, and if I go back there, I'll lose my head and all sorts of things. So there's quite an element of fear going on in. That's often in our hearts as well when it comes to calling. But actually, the answer is, who am I? Who am I? It's a firm answer from God. And what God is saying in the I am who I am is not only defining himself as a limitless God, but he's also saying, I am the God who is always and forever with you. And the question is not who are you who's receiving the call, it is who is issuing the call. Because at the end of the day, all he requires is us to be obedient and say yes, and then he will do what he wants. He says, I have come to save my people. You're not going to be the one who does the saving, Moses. I'm going to do all the work, but I just need you to do as I say. One of the problems with call is we think the job is too big because we think it's all about us. It's not about us at all. It's all about God. Who am I? I am the one who will be with you, and I will be the one who will be equipping you. And that takes us back to last week as well, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, and then gives us this command that we looked at last week at Liz's baptism. It was fantastic, wasn't it? And if you weren't here, go and listen to it. Go and make disciples. And the very last verse of Matthew's gospel, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So both are saying go, but both are saying I am with you. They won't believe, says Moses next. That's at the beginning of chapter 4. What if they do not believe or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What do you think is at the bottom of that question, they won't believe? Well, I think what's at the bottom of it is, I'll look stupid. So there's a bit of pride here as we are a little bit anxious about how other people will perceive us. And I know for a fact that that is a reason why a lot of people prefer to stay here and don't like to come up onto the platform, do a Bible reading, say prayers, be part of the communion serving team, because we're very anxious that we will look stupid. God is never going to dishonor us. I can say now, after so many years in ministry, the number of times I have felt like Moses, that I'm going to look stupid, many times because I haven't felt adequately prepared for whatever I was doing, and yet God's never, ever, ever, ever let me down. He has always actually done what he wants to and just smoothed over whatever inadequacies, problems or lack that I was bringing. And he will do that with us. Jesus says, Father, I have brought you glory, be glorified. And he prays for us that something similar will go on in our lives. And what Jesus is really saying is those who stand up for me I will always honour. So the question is really, actually, are we trusting in our own ability not to look stupid, or are we trusting in his ability not to make us look stupid? And I know who I would rather trust, because I do quite a good job of being stupid on my own. So let's not worry about what other people think of us. And God anyway tells Moses in the next several verses about the various signs that he is going to use. So there's put down your staff, which becomes a snake, put your hand into your cloak, which becomes leprous, and then he says if they don't believe that, and God knows they will believe that anyway, but then just take some water from the Nile, pour it out, and it will become blood. And that's kind of a precursor of the plagues that are going to come later anyway. So God is saying, look, there are signs that will follow. Actually, we can ask for confirmation, and we can ask for signs from God as well, if we're nervous. Then there's the third response, which is, I am not a speaker, says Moses. He goes on a little bit more than that. He says, actually, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I stammer. I stumble. I'm just not a speaker. Do you notice God hasn't actually asked him to be a speaker? He's just asked him to go and lead his people. So Moses is actually thinking he knows what the job is, and God hasn't told him fully what the job is. I also, incidentally, didn't think I was a speaker either. And I was absolutely sure that was confirmed when I was invited to preach my very first message, which I didn't do on my own, I did with my brother. And it still took us 3 weeks to prepare our first message, and that with help from our dad. And I did the very quick maths that worked out. If it takes you 3 weeks to do every single message, it's not going to be long before you're so far behind that you'll never be able to. But of course, I hadn't reckoned on the fact that actually the more you do, the more familiar, the easier it actually becomes. Well, it's not always that easy, but you know what I mean. And God knew what he was doing. But I didn't think so. Now, the wider application for us in terms of leadership, remember, we're particularly thinking of church, but it may not necessarily be. The question really is, I don't have the right gifts. Is that a question that you are asking or saying yourself, a statement that you are making? Because then listen to the answer. Because the answer from God in Exodus 4 and 11, and I'm paraphrasing slightly as I put it up on the screen there, is who gives the mouth? Who made human beings with the ability to speak? If I want you to speak, I will give you the words to speak. That, again, is something Jesus said, isn't it? He said, do not worry when they bring you before courts and tribunals. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit will enable you to speak. And that's one of the things we celebrate about the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit gifts and equips his people. So the question is not, have we got the gifts? The question is, are we willing? And if we're willing to step forward, God will give the gifts and give the abilities. Look at Sue and Heather, who were playing piano last week. Nervous, but they've stepped forward and they did brilliantly. Ruth, you're nearly out of a job. All right. Sue is shaking her head vigorously. And incidentally, I don't know if you noticed in one of the slides. I think we've already passed it. But in one of the slides that showed the congregation from the back, did you notice you'd got Paul and you'd got Phil and you'd got Val? Phil's already been an elder. Paul's working as a trustee with the church. Val, she several years ago said to me, David, I'm not a speaker. I never speak in any shape or form. What's Val doing now? She is often out representing MAF and speaking on their behalf. Anyway, the last response is, oh, Lord, just send someone else. just send someone else. And that's where God's patience begins to run out a bit. And Moses, verse 13, if you want it, it's verse 13 of chapter 4. But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else." And that is the bottom line. The bottom line, actually, is Moses just didn't want to do it. He heard God's call. He knew that he didn't want to do it. And so he simply was trying to say no. So if you can read up on the screen, because it's not very large print, the man who's got the bag on his head, lead no thanks. Exactly the same as Moses' response here. And the picture of George Washington is there because, unlike so many modern politicians, and probably particularly many of the American presidents, but the first president of America almost had to be dragged into the role. And you can read how reluctant he was to become president, and particularly on the day he left his home in order to go. It began his presidency in New York, because Washington wasn't built in those days. There's this quite poignant record of him leaving his home, knowing that he was unlikely to be able to return there just as an ordinary person. That's what he wanted to continue to be, an ordinary person. And I guess that's what Moses wanted to be, to continue to be an ordinary person. But in the way in which ultimately Moses does go, and the rest is history, as they say, and ultimately George Washington did respond and go, so we have the invitation ourselves to go. And so actually what we really need to be thinking about is not our excuses as to why we shouldn't, but actually to think about what God wants to achieve, what God plans. This was part of the sermon of the preacher who spoke at Claire's induction at New Addington, talking about hope, talking about a new start, talking about what God is going to do through that new minister in New Addington. But that applies to every single one of us. That was part of what was going on last week here with Liz. What is Liz inviting and what is God inviting and calling Liz to do within her life and her discipleship? What is God calling each one of us to do? Is it in our work context? Is it in a voluntary organization, as I've said? Is it within the church? Is it to do with CKs, as Tim was saying? Because Ephesians 4 tells us the church is only effective as each part does its work. So Moses' bottom line was, I don't want to. And God's bottom line was, you shall. And I just need to ask the question, is God talking to any of us? Could be as simple as actually coming into church membership. It could be about leadership in the CKs. It could be that role outside church. It could be a leadership role within church. So let's conclude. As I said just now, with respect to Washington, in politics and in many other roles, people often seek power, seek to be leaders. But for Christians, where we are taught humility, it's often that Christian leaders have to be dragged into role. That might be so at Crowham Road now. Our problem, all too often, like Moses, is that when God issues the call, we look at ourselves and who we are and who we think we are or are not, and our inadequacies and our lack of gifts. That's not the way God looks at us. God looks at us at what he's made us, what we can be, how he's going to use us, the equipping that he gives. And he says, look, I'm God. I'm God. I'm the Lord. I can do anything. I can do anything with you. So come and join me, is what he is saying. And that's why I put down the bottom there. Exodus 3 and 4 makes it clear that all Moses needs in order to succeed is God, Yahweh, the Lord. I am who I am. And all, therefore, he asks of us is one single thing. Obedience. Let us pray. Father, we're about to come to communion. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, wrestled with obedience. But he knew that you had called him not just to be Son of David, preaching, teaching, healing, and raising the dead, but he had been called to die. And though he may have flinched, yet he obeyed. Father, if Jesus was prepared to go that far for us, can we possibly hold back? May each one of us, and especially those of us who gave our hearts to you recently or a long time ago, but gave our hearts to you and admitted Jesus as Savior and Lord, may we allow Jesus now to be Lord. And when you call, whether it be to church leadership or leadership in our workplace or some other role, may we hear your call and may we, like Jesus, like Moses ultimately, be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.